Blog Talk Radio.
According to the scripture,
And so I wanted to take some time this morning and to go over this subject because it seems that, you know, people get upset if they hear something other than what they've previously been taught. And I, you know, just want to show what's in the scripture and let the scripture set your expectations. I did a Google search on all the scriptures that reference the resurrection. And inherently worded three different ways, Revelation chapter 20 is never brought up. Okay? And I believe, now this is just my belief, and I know from when I was, you know, being taught in the church, you know, when I was taught in the church and what was presented to me, Revelation chapter 20 was never brought up. You know, they always used, you know, the scriptures from like Revelation, not Revelation, Thessalonians or New Testament verses, but they never really ever taught the standpoint of what's revealed in the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation reveals to us who is resurrected and when. The other scriptures, the other books, sort of leave it to Messiah said he did not come to teach the masses. He did not come so that the masses would understand. And so when he's speaking, he's giving a generalized answer. But then it's the book of Revelation that actually reveals and unlocks what he actually said. So I just want to look at that on this morning. I don't know how long we'll be. We may be an hour. We may be an hour and 45 minutes. It's as, you know, as it takes to teach it or to go over it. So that being said, you know, I have found that when people have, people react to whatever their expectation is. And when, you know, if you go to get a job or, you know, somebody makes a promise, it is the expectation that is set that people go by. And, you know, and if people, if the expectation, if their expectation is high or whether it's low, and what they cannot accept. And so we just want to set the correct expectation according to as it is written in the scripture. And, you know, I'm very literal with this. And so I don't want to put my interpretation on anything. I just want to read what thus saith the scripture. And then you have to go in and come to your own understanding. Okay, I'm going to give you, what I'm going to do is give you what I see in the scriptures and what the expectation is, because many people believe that they're going to get up the first resurrection. The topic of the lesson is, what if you don't make the first resurrection? Are you lost? Because I've heard people teach that if you don't make the first resurrection, you're lost. You are, you know, you don't get into the kingdom. Okay. But that's not what the book says, and it's not the teaching of the book, at least not when I'm reading it. And so I want to address some things concerning this so that we understand that there are some things that the Most High requires. He has, you know, he says some things, and then there are some requirements. And a lot of the time, you know, people are just, and they run with it, and they make a doctrine out of those scriptures. And that's what it seems that the church has done. And I think they do it because it makes it more attractive to people. Or maybe they don't understand themselves. I don't know which one it is. But I know that when I have searched this thing out on the Most High, and I prayed, and the Most High says, look here, then the whole picture comes together, okay? And it's just like people are expecting to be raptured out of this earth before the times of trials and tribulations, going by one scripture. But then they never stop to put a timeline to those verses, so the dead in Christ will rise first. When and who? Okay, when and who? It would be the question. And so if you, you know, if you would be mad, if it would make you mad if you didn't make the first resurrection, or would you be upset? Would you feel deceived? You know, how would you feel if you didn't make the first resurrection in that hand? And, you know, that's the question I want you to contemplate. You know, because Messiah returns and you don't get up. Now, of course, you wouldn't know you didn't get up, but what if you, you know, we're going to read that there's a time when everybody's going to get up. And if you found out that you were raised in the second resurrection, would it upset you? Okay. And so we want to look at that on today. I'm, you know, going to try to do the best job I can with it, as Most High leads me in this. But I want to, you know, set the expectation and then go over the prophecies concerning to do with the end time. Okay, with that being said, I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general. Whether you're in North America or South America, the African continent, the Middle East, the European theater, the communist bloc countries, or the Far East, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And let us go and do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you on today, and we lift you up, and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. We extol thee. We extol thee, Father, for you are worthy of all glory, all honor, and all praise. And there is none like unto you, O Father, no, not one. And we thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Holy hand praise to the Most High Elohim. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Say our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. In our scripture reading on today, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46, and we will personalize this. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive, unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people, and thine inheritance, which thou brought forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spake by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim, O Matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High bless you to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
Also says in the book of Revelations, described our Lord and Savior, who you call Jesus Christ, but whose Hebrew name is Yahweh Shah, because he is deliverer, to help us in these last days to return back to who we are, the children of Israel. So as you prepare your spirit to partake of the holy tongue of our forefathers, open your heart, your mind, and your soul, and receive these words in the ancient tongue of our forefathers, the tongue Lashawan Kodash, the holy tongue in the language of Hebrew, Shema, which means to listen, Shalom.
Bye.
book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to be getting verses 14 and 15. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Yeshua will Elohim bring with him. Okay, now this bringing with him makes a lot of Christians believe that they are coming from heaven because they're coming with him. But he tells us that the dead in Christ rise. You don't rise from heaven. Heaven is above. So if he was bringing them with him, then they would be descending with him. But nevertheless, we have to look at the totality of the scriptures. For this we say unto you by the word of Yah, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of Yah shall not prevent them which are asleep. So when he returns, saying that when he returns, those which are alive and still alive at the time of his coming will not prevent those which are asleep from rising. Question you have to ask yourself is, number one, who is actually coming with him, according to this verse? Those that are asleep. Is it everyone that's already asleep? That would be a question. Because if you just go by this verse, then you have to assume, or you would make the assumption, that it is everyone who has previously died in him. Okay? For the Lord himself, or Yah himself, Yeshua himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. You need to underline, and with the trump of Elohim. And the dead in Mashiach shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud. And so, and to meet Yeshua in the air, and so shall we be forever with them. So it says he's going to come with the trump of Elohim. Now let's see at which trumpet will he come out? Is he going to return? If the scriptures tell us. So just a second. Corinthians chapter 15. It says that he's going to return with the trump. And let's see what trump is talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 52. And actually, let's just set it up with verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. When? But it does tell us everybody's not going to die, and everybody is going to be changed, okay? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, these trumps are mentioned in Revelation, the book of Revelation, okay? The last trump, then you got to determine when is the last trump and what has happened in the world. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So Messiah is going to come at the last trump, at the last trumpet in Revelation, okay? And the dead are going to raise at the sound of this trumpet. It's like an alarm clock. Are all the dead going to be raised? Because what the church is teaching, that if you believe in Messiah, because the scriptures say, if you believe in him, you shall be raised. You shall receive eternal life. But what it doesn't say is when you're going to receive that eternal life. So there's going to be some people that rise at the last trump. There's going to be some dead that are raised incorruptible and are going to be changed. But is that everyone? Everyone. Okay? So that's what I want you to think about. Is that every person that ever believed, every person that received the Ruach HaKodesh, every person that has ever died before then, that believe in Messiah? Are they going to be raised at this last trump? But it says the dead, but it doesn't tell you which dead. So people assume that it's all the dead. Okay? So let's do this before we jump into that. Let's go to the book of Job, and we're going to look at some verses that promise, you know, the resurrection. Not necessarily the rapture, but the resurrection. Okay? Because people, as I said, the rapture is tied to the resurrection, as the church believes, and they have called it a rapture. But they are teaching you that when Messiah returns at the last trump, then everybody who has died in him will be resurrected at that time. Okay? And we just want to see if that's what the scriptures actually teach, as what they actually say. But let's look at some Old Testament and then some New Testament scriptures concerning the promise of the resurrection. Go to Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, stand at the latter day upon the earth. So Job is saying, hey, I know that my Redeemer lives and that he's going to stand on the earth in the latter day. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see Elohim. So Job is telling you, hey, I know my Redeemer lives and he's going to stand on the earth in the last day. And though I go to the grave and my flesh is consumed by the worms, yet in my flesh shall I see Elohim. So he's telling you, even though I'm going to go to the grave and be consumed, I'm going to still see Elohim in this thing whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. So I'm going to see this. Not somebody else is going to see this for me. I personally am going to see this. Though my reins be consumed within me. So this is a promise of the resurrection from the book of Job. I'm going to live again. And I'm going to see Elohim in the same flesh that has already gone to death, that has already been eaten by the worms. Okay? That's a from the Old Testament concerning this. Now let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. And Messiah is telling us some things about the resurrection and life after the resurrection. Matthew chapter 22. Muslims believing that, hey, they're going to get seven virgins in the next life, in the next kingdom. Okay? But Messiah says something different from that. So Matthew chapter 22, and let's start. I have verse 30, but let's start a little bit higher than that. And they give, you know, they're trying to trip him up. They're asking him a question. So let's read the question. Starting in verse 24. Okay. Matthew 22, starting in verse 24. Say, Master, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife. Now, we know that this is a law, that if a man has a brother and he marries, and he has no children, then his brother is required by the law to take his wife and raise up a child to his brother. Okay. Now there were with us seven brethren. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, he died, and have no issue, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Let's see what version I'm reading this out of. Okay, that is KJV. So let me read verse 25 again. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife deceased, and having no issue left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second, also the third, unto the seventh. So they run through this, you know, this litany that, hey, this woman was actually passed from brother to brother, okay? And none of them died by any of them. And at last, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Yeshua answered and said unto them, you do err, you make a mistake, you are in error, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Elohim. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but as the angels of Elohim, but are as the angels in heaven, the angels of Elohim in heaven. So Messiah is telling him, hey, at the resurrection, nobody is, there's no husband and wife. Nobody is given in marriage. When you die, that's the end of that relationship. So your husband, if he dies, is no longer your husband. Your wife, if she dies, she's no longer your wife. When you get resurrected, you're not going to be husband and wife. You're neither married nor are given in marriage. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, so he straightens them out first on whose wife she's going to be. She's not going to be none of their wives. And none of them are going to be her husband. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that was spoken unto you by Elohim, saying, I am the Elohim of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Elohim is not the Elohim of the dead, but of the living. So he's telling them that, hey, in the resurrection, you're not going to be married. You're not going to get married. And so there's no sex in after, you know, in the resurrection, after the resurrection of the dead. Okay? As far as those that have been resurrected. The Elohim is the Elohim of the living. So the dead and Messiah aren't considered to be dead. They're just simply considered to be asleep. And they're still alive because the Most High is able to bring them back. Verse 33, and when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, well, I think the Pharisees believe in the resurrection and the Sadducees don't. So the Pharisees have been teaching, hey, some other doctrine, but they hadn't been teaching this. So they were making an error in the doctrine, in the scripture. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, okay, so this is the Sadducees coming with this, trying to trip him up in the resurrection and in marriage. The Pharisees believe in the resurrection. They were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? So the Pharisees and the Sadducees are trying to trip him up at one place or another. But when it came to the resurrection, who the Sadducees actually were trying to trap him, you err in the scriptures. There is no marriage, and there is no giving in marriage after the resurrection, in the resurrection or after it. Okay? So that's one myth or one lie or one untruth that he put to silence while he walked the earth. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. So Messiah says there is a resurrection, says he is the resurrection, and there were some common day thoughts or things that people were trying to do to trip up and say, well, there's no resurrection. And if a man has seven wives, or if a wife has seven husbands, who's going to be her husband in the resurrection? Okay. So let's go to Mark chapter 12. Looking at some thoughts, some doctrines that were being taught, because we got some thoughts and some doctrines being taught today. Matthew chapter 12. starting in verse 24, and we might go up a little bit higher. And it's the same thing, but he's saying it a little bit different. Same conversation, but he's saying it a little bit different concerning, you know, the man with the woman with seven husbands. Mark 12 and 24. And Yeshua answered and said unto them, Do you not therefore err, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of Elohim? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. As touching the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush Elohim spake unto him, saying, I am the Elohim of Abraham, and the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob. He is not the Elohim of the dead, but the Elohim of the living. You therefore do greatly err. Luke chapter 14. The book of Luke chapter 14. And we're going to be getting verse probably 12, 13, and 14. Verses, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friend, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbor, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made unto thee. So it's not about the resurrection, but he's making a statement about how you should be as a person. Don't invite your rich friend, because they might try to pay you again, you know, by inviting you to their feast. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed and the lame and the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense, they cannot repay you. For thou shalt be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So he's telling us at the resurrection, the mindset that we should have in this life is that we are going to take care of those who are not able to take care of themselves, and not take care of those who are able to take care of themselves, because they're able to also bless us. So that we throw a big barbecue, and we invite all our friends, and we invite those that are capable, and we feed them, and they're capable of feeding themselves. And we do it, you know, so that we get invited to their feast, their barbecue. Just don't do that. Their dinner. Invite those that are poor and maimed and lame and blind, that are having a hard time in this life. He says, and then you'll be repaid when? At the resurrection, when you're resurrected of the just. Because it'll be in the book of your work. You fed the hungry, the homeless, the maimed. Remember we read on last night, and we'll go back and read it again today, that that everybody's going to be judged out of their work, type of work that he's looking for. Not that you had barbecues and invited everybody who was capable of eating, but that you had barbecues or dinners and you invited people who were not capable of repaying you. He says, and you'll be repaid then. Okay? So but when? At the resurrection. Which resurrection? The first or the second? Go to Luke chapter 20. A different way, the same situation concerning marriage, but it's worded a little bit different. Go down to verse 35, Luke 20 and verse 35. Again, it's the same situation, but he's answering it, and Luke records it a little bit different. Yeshua answered, saying unto them, the children of the world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, the world to come, and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore. For they are equal unto the angels, as far as eternal life. They've been converted over. They've been transformed. and are the children of Elohim, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, when Moses showed at the bush, when he called Yah, Elohim of Abraham, and the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob, not the Elohim of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. So he said the same thing, but he's giving a little bit more detail in that you're going to be raised eternal. You're not going to be able to die anymore. You're not going to have children. You're not going to marry. And we know that the kingdom, there won't just be, you know, we live for this body. There's not going to be any sex. People won't just be running around fornicating, you know. We know that the angels are not given in marriage. So it makes you have to wonder, the angels that fell, how did they have sex with women in the Old Testament? If you don't have a sex organ, then how do you desire to have sex? To mate. Just things that make you go, okay? Go to John, chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 25. John, chapter 5. Starting in verse 25. Start a little bit higher than this. All right, let's start in verse 18. Let's start in verse 18. And understand that Messiah has just claimed who he is. Okay? Verse 17. But Yeshua answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now, they're going to claim that he broke the Sabbath. Therefore, the Jews sought more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that Elohim was his father, making himself equal with Elohim. Then answered Yeshua and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, or what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and shows him all things that himself does, do it, and he shall show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. No man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Elohim, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also because Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Now he's talking in the third person. And when I say about a third person, he's talking about himself, but he's using pronouns like him and his. Because he's not really trying to tell the people or reveal to the people who he is. He makes some statements and they say, you blaspheme. You make yourself Elohim because you said you were the son of Elohim, Elohim. And so he's talking to them in the third person, not revealing to them that he's talking about himself. and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So those are the two resurrections. But the resurrection, the first resurrection, are just going to be believers and everyone that believes. So you got the resurrection of those that will be resurrected to life, but these are two judgments, and the resurrection of those that shall be resurrected to damnation. The two judgments. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. So he says, if I'm telling you this about myself, then my witness is not true. He says he got a greater witness than himself. There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. Now he's talking about the Most High. John also witnessed of him. Okay. Yea, you sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but burning and shining bright, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light, talking about John. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And you have not, and you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him you believe not. So Messiah is saying, hey, I have a witness, and I'm telling you that it's greater than me, and I'm telling you that the dead are going to rise again. All those that believe in me. Go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 1. The book of Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Now these are the apostles, and they are, and that he is risen from the dead. And the priests don't like this. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Yeshua the resurrection from the dead. So they lay hands on them, and, you know, they arrest them, and they're telling them, hey, you can't, we don't want you teaching this name. We don't want you teaching the resurrection. You know who don't want them to teach the resurrection? It's the Sadducees. In the name of Messiah and the resurrection. This is from the beginning. Acts chapter 17. Now, people often wonder, you know, why aren't people being judged right now, immediately? Why, when they do something, they just don't fall dead? Why don't the Most High just judge them right now? Go to Acts chapter 17. Get verses 31 and 32. Acts 17, verses 31 and 32. Well, let's start up higher than that so that you understand where this is coming from. 29. For as much then, as we are the offspring of Elohim, we ought not to think that the Godhead or the Elohim head, the head of God, is likened unto gold or silver or stone, graven art or man's device. Don't think that Elohim is gold or silver or stone. And at the times of this ignorance, Elohim winked at. Look at them. Look at them worshiping that rock. Like it's me. Look at them making this image out of gold in that they think is my image, out of silver and this kind of stuff. He said, in the times of this ignorance, Elohim winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. A day. We're going to look at that day. By the man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead, that he has resurrected him. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Yeah, right, you get up from the dead. And others said, we will hear this thing, hear thee again on this matter. So people didn't always believe in the resurrection. And even after Messiah was resurrected, people didn't believe that he was resurrected. And even today, a lot of people don't believe in the resurrection. They believe this is all there is. But even if they do, the question of those that do is, when does it happen? And who's being resurrected and when? So the common doctrine that is taught, is that when Messiah returns, when he returns at the last trump, everybody's getting up. All those who are in the church, who are supposed to be in his body, who believed on him, are getting up. That's what they teach. Okay? We want to see if that is true. Go to Romans chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The book of Romans, chapter 1. And let's just go ahead and get verses 1 through 4. 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of Yeshua HaMashiach, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of Elohim, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture, seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the son of Elohim with power, according to the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So it's by the resurrection from the dead that he proves that he is the son of Elohim, the one sent of promised Messiah, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So again, the apostles are living for the resurrection. And Paul even says, and I don't think I got that verse, if we don't believe in this, if what Messiah said is not true, then we are miserable, most miserable indeed. Because this is what we're living for. We're living for the redemption of our soul and the resurrection unto life. That's why we cling to this. And we don't want to live for the resurrection unto what? Damnation? Go to Romans. Chapter 6 is why you get baptized in Romans chapter 6. And when we go over in the newcomers class, I'll go over it in more detail. But baptism in water is not just a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. And it's not an outward sign of an inward change. Okay? It's not what it represents. It's not what it accomplishes. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, may abound? Elohim forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Messiah were baptized into his death? This is how the Most High gives you credit for death. You're going to die to yourself. And when you go down in that water, you are baptized into Messiah's death, buried with him. So you were supposed to die to your old self, that old sin for you. And then you were buried in Messiah's death. And being buried in his death, you are given credit for death, so that you can be resurrected. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. When you come up out of that water, you're supposed to be a new creature. You buried the old man. You were given credit for death. And then you come up out of that water in the newness of life. That is actually a form of resurrection. Okay, and then you're going to suffer physical death eventually. But the promise is that I'm going to raise you up again from that physical death. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So the baptism is so that you can confess your sin, repent, confess your sin. Elohim forgives you for those sins. You are buried because you died to those sins. You died to that old man. And then you are resurrected when you come up out of the water. Live anymore after that for sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. So we're not supposed to sin after that. Not knowingly sin, at least. So this is a form of a resurrection, but it's not the resurrection that is the full resurrection that is promised, which is die. You die to the old man, you're still alive, but the Most High says, I'm going to give you credit for death, and you're going to be raised a new being, a new in the newness of life, and I want you to live now, not unto sin. And then you shall receive the promised resurrection at the last trump. You may go to the grave, but if you haven't gone to the grave and he comes back, then you're not going to die then. You are doing what he said to do, because the only people who are really going to be alive when Messiah comes back, they have gone through the tribulation. They have escaped the beast. Everybody else, the beast is going to kill. That's what he does. Okay? That's what he does. He comes after the saints. If you're not here, he can't kill you. But the fact that the saints are here and the beast is given all authority over them, power and authority over them, that means that you didn't get raptured out. But people want to escape. They don't want to have to go through that time where they might lose their life for worshiping the beast. Okay? Now let's go to Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8. Who do you believe the Holy Ghost is? Who do you believe the Holy Spirit is? And how many spirits do you believe have to be in you? Because there are people who believe that the Holy Ghost is Gabriel. I said, So you got to be filled with the spirit of Gabriel. They don't answer that. But I say, hey, that's what you're saying. So let's read this, verses 1 through, okay? Because this is speaking toward truth, okay, and what we have to understand about the nature of our salvation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, or Yeshua HaMashiach, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Yeshua HaMashiach has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim sending his own Son into the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you are walking after the Spirit, then you're not looking to be walking after the flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity or hatred against Elohim, for it is not subject to the law of Elohim, neither indeed can be. So those who don't have the Spirit of the Most High, they're not subject to the laws of the Most High, and neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please Elohim. He's talking about those that are walking after the flesh. They cannot please Elohim. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. How? If so be that the Spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you believe that the Spirit of Elohim and the Spirit of Christ are different, are two separate beings, are two separate spirits, then now you have to have both of them, the Spirit of Elohim and the Spirit of Christ. But they're both the same Spirit. Just understand that. The Spirit that was in Messiah is the Spirit of the Most High. Messiah is the Most High in flesh. So you only have to have one Spirit in you. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit is life because you do right, according to what God has said is right, what Elohim says is right. Keeping the statutes, laws, commandments, his ordinance, his judgment. But if the Spirit of him, and you have to ask yourself, you can go look it up in the scriptures, if the Spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, from the dead, to also quicken, give life to your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So how is the Most High going to raise you up, resurrect you, and give you life? By his Spirit that dwelleth in you. It stays with you even after death. And I think you can go read that about, I believe it's Elijah, where his body, after his body was buried, I think that's Elijah, but it might be Elias. Don't quote me on that one. After his body is buried, is put in a tomb, and some Amorites are running from some people, or some Hebrews are running from some Amorites, and they throw the body in on Elijah's body in the tomb. When his dead body, this man's dead body, touches Elijah's body, his bones, he comes back to life. Do you think it was the bones of Elijah that had the power, or do you think it was the Spirit of the Most High in those bones? It was the Spirit of the Most High in those bones that brought that dead man back to life. So even once we have the Spirit of the Most High, even after we die, the Spirit of the Most High doesn't leave us. Stays with us. And it's by his Spirit that he resurrects us. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, they are the sons or the children of Elohim. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of Elohim. 11. Where your resurrection is promised. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Yeshua or Mashiach from the dead shall also quicken or give your mortal body life by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So when you die, the Spirit of the Most High in you doesn't leave you. Stays with you even in the grave. Spirit that you will be resurrected. Go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. where Paul is talking about. If you don't believe this, then you shouldn't believe anything in the scripture. Nothing. And even though there, you know, you can say there's some truth in the scriptures, and I believe those things that I believe to be true, but if you don't believe this, you have no hope. You're just trying to be good. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's start in verse 12. Talking about the Spirit and what, how the Spirit works, the Spirit of the Most High. And that, you know, it's by His Spirit that you get your gift. Not of yourself. You know, you might have been born with the ability to sing, but you wouldn't be born with the ability to sing anointed, to move people when you sing, when it comes to singing about the Most High. That would be as an example. For as the body is one and has many members, talking about the body of Messiah, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Remember, Christ is not a who, but a what? The power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua the Christ, is the power and the wisdom of Elohim to bring us to eternal salvation. That concept of Messiah, all those who come to him make up his body. The body is many members, okay? But the body is one. Just like our human body is made up of many cells, but it's only one human body. For by one Spirit, not two spirits, not three spirits, not the Spirit of Elohim and the Spirit of Christ, because it's all the same Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, not many spirits, just one. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body, just because it says it's not? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You know, you cut off your ear, that part becomes not part of the body because you cut it off. Okay, but as long as it's attached to the body, it's part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? So if the whole body was just an eye, how would you hear? If the whole were hearing, if everything was an ear, how would you smell? But now has Elohim set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. We don't all perform the same function. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Because the body is made up of many members. So if they were all, if it was just one member, then you wouldn't have a body. If the body is made up of many members. But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. Nor can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. Those that seem to be weak, you know, they're not comely. The parts of your body that, you know, you don't want nobody to see, that are necessary for life, you know, if you couldn't take a dump because you were clogged, then you know, that part of your body becomes very important, okay? And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Our unbeautiful parts have more abundant beautifulness. When you understand that, hey, they're necessary. For our comely parts have no need. If you are always being praised, you don't have no need to be praised. You don't have no need for compliments. But Elohim has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which it lacked. 25, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So when we look at, wait a minute, I'm reading the wrong chapter. Good grief. Chapter 15, my bad. I told you chapter 15, but I started reading in chapter 12, which is the verse that I was supposed to start reading in. And I apologize. Verses 12 through 23. Now, if Messiah be preached that he rose from the dead, how shall some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If he was preached that he was raised from the dead, how can some of us say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ, Mashiach, is not risen. And if Mashiach is not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is all vain for nothing. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of Elohim, because we have testified of Elohim that he raised up Mashiach, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Mashiach not raised. And if Mashiach be not raised, your faith is in vain, you are yet in your sin. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Mashiach are perished. They're just gone. If the dead ain't raised again, this is your hope. If they're not raised again, if they're not resurrected, then they are gone. Once they're dead, that's it. If in this life only we have hope in Mashiach, we are all men most miserable. So if you read that verse by itself, you can say that, hey, if we have faith in Mashiach, then we are miserable. But we know, we take it in context, he's saying, hey, if what is said is true, is not true, and in this life only we have hope in Mashiach, we are of all men most miserable. Why? Because while they're out there sinning and, you know, having their fun and taking pleasures in the flesh, and doing anything and everything that they want, we are trying to live by the laws of the Most High. Then we are most miserable, because we could be doing all that if this ain't true. But now is Christ or Mashiach risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that have slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. Okay? Keep going. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ, in Mashiach, shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ, or Mashiach the first fruit, afterwards they that are Mashiach at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to Elohim, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. So, if we don't believe in this resurrection, then we ought to go out and just do anything and everything. Because if it don't exist, if it's not real, if Messiah didn't get up from the dead, if he was never crucified and died and got up again, then there is no next life. There is no resurrection from the dead. And all you have is this life. Philippians chapter 3. Let's get verses 10 and 11. The time we got 9:26. We got time. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Do you really want to know the fellowship? Do you really want to have fellowship with Messiah's suffering? Do you want to go through what he went through? Because he went through and died for us, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That I might get the resurrection of the dead. Now, everybody, good and bad, is going to be resurrected. But when it's talking about the resurrection of the dead in these scriptures, it's always talking about it receiving the resurrection of life, not the resurrection of damnation. The books are always encouraging us to seek the resurrection of life, eternal life outside of the lake of fire, not the resurrection of damnation to the lake of fire. So it said, hey, in verse 10, the fellowship of his suffering. So no, he wants to, hey, he suffered for me. I want to suffer for him. Most people do not want to suffer, especially for the word of Elohim or the witness of Messiah. Oh, I'll witness for him, but as long as I ain't got to suffer. I'll witness for him as long as you ain't going to do nothing physically against me. If I'm going to suffer physical pain, then I don't want that. Oh, well, maybe. Maybe I'll fast a little bit. But that's about as far as people be wanting to go. Talk about taking their life, don't want to hear it. Don't even consider it. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Well, before we go there, go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 17. Remember, in Philippians, we have the writer saying that, hey, he wanted to know Messiah and be a partaker in his suffering. Okay, to know his suffering. So we are required to know his sufferings, not just in word, but also in deed, if we want to get up that first resurrection. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of Elohim and joint heirs with Mashiach, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Messiah died for us, and you want to be glorified with him, then the scriptures are saying you had to suffer likewise. How are you going to glory? You sat on in the pew and you clapped your hands and you sang some songs and you fasted a little while here and there. Be equal to take the same glory as him giving his life. It's not the same thing. So when it's saying suffer with him, it means exactly that. So you're going to either suffer for being a witness to him. Hey, why are you believing in Yeshua HaMashiach? Well, he's my savior. We don't believe that. Crack you in the head with a rock, punch you in the mouth, shoot you, do something to take your life because you were witnessing about him or you were witnessing about the word of the Most High and you were telling the truth and the people didn't want to hear it, so they, like they did with Messiah, they killed him. Don't want to hear that. Trying to trap him at every point. They will come after you. Okay? You got to suffer with him. Remember that. So underline Romans 8 and 17, because we're going to bring it back to life when we get to Revelation. go to 1 Thessalonians. Get 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's start in verse 14 concerning this resurrection. Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Yeshua will Elohim bring with him. Now we read this. This is part of our reference verses for this lesson. For this we say unto you by the word of Yah, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of Yeshua shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16, for Yah himself, or Yeshua himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of Elohim, and the dead in Mashiach shall rise first. Now, again, underline that, the dead in Christ, all dead in him, or those that suffered with him. That doesn't mean that the rest aren't going to get up at some point, but the dead that suffered with him. Okay? Then we which are alive and remain, are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet Yah, Yeshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with Yeshua. Now, you're not going to remain up there in the clouds with him, but you're going to be with him wherever he's at. His kingdom is not a rule up in heaven. His kingdom is a rule on this earth, coming back to the earth. So when people see this, they read this and say, hey, we're going to be up in heaven. We're going to be up where the throne is at, and we're going to walk the cities, the roads of heaven, all this stuff, okay? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So people have embellished this to try to make heaven present it as glorious and beautiful and all this, and that's where you're going. Heaven is beautiful and glorious, but it's not where we are going. Okay, and Messiah, he's not coming back to get us to take us to heaven. He's not descending to bring us from heaven, because verse 16 tells us, let's read this and let's heed it. Verse 16, for Yeshua himself shall descend from heaven, with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of Elohim, and the dead in Mashiach shall rise to meet him. Where are they rising from? The earth. To meet him in the air. Okay? Go to 2 Timothy. Come on now. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to just get verse 11. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. And if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we suffer with him. Now, we're going to look at what the scriptures actually say this suffering is. If we deny him, he also will deny us. With him, we shall also reign with him. Not everybody's going to reign with him. That's the key words there. So underline that verse. to the book of Revelation. Chapter 20. The book of Revelation, chapter 20. Because we are told that the dead, those that are asleep in Messiah, at his coming, they shall be resurrected. They're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But is it everyone to reign with him? Then you have to suffer with him, like him. As he gave his life, you would have to give your life for the same thing, for the word of Elohim, or for the testimony of Yeshua. So Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, one day, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that 1,000 years, he must be loosed a little season, a little while, thrown, and they set upon them. And judgment was given unto them. Now, what are these thrones and who's sitting upon them? And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua. They suffered with him and were beheaded for the word of Elohim. They suffered with him. And which had not worshipped the beast. Okay. Now, there's only one time in history where this latter part can become true. The beast has to be in the world. And that only happens during the times of trials and tribulations. Neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand. And remember, if you want to reign with him, you have to suffer with him. And they live and reign with Mashiach 1,000 years. So here are those who wanted to reign with him. They were killed for the word of Elohim. They were killed for the witness of Messiah. They did not worship the beast, neither his image. Neither receive a mark in their forehead or in their hand. And they live and reign with Mashiach 1,000 years. So if you went through this, then you were resurrected. You met him in the clouds. But if you did not go through this, then you weren't resurrected yet. But the rest of the dead, everybody that don't apply to verse 4, lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. This is what Messiah was talking to those about, them, you know, reigning with him, those being a part of him, and reigning with him. Now, what about the rest of the people who believe on him and didn't get resurrected? They're going to still be resurrected, just not now. Let's go to Revelation chapter 14. The book of Revelation, chapter 14. So we're going to look at what happens to all those who take the mark of the beast and those that don't. Let's start in verse 6. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6. Saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear Elohim and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen. Is fallen, that great city, because he made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. This false religion. Third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, this is man or woman, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Elohim, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, his anger, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Smoke of their torment, those who take the mark, who worship the beast, their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. If they're dead, wouldn't be anything about rest day or night. They are alive. They are in the lake of fire, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Elohim and the faith of Yeshua. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which died in Yeshua from henceforth. Now, if you're a saint and you keep the commandment and the faith of Messiah, you're going to be dying if you don't take the mark. And it tells you, blessed are you. You die for doing this from that time forward. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. So the church is not escaping. The true church is not escaping. The true believers are not escaping. Those who are faithful to Messiah and to the commandments of the Most High. There's an and there. You got a lot of people that say they know him, do works in his name. So you're going to say, get away from me. I don't know you. Because you ain't keeping the commandments. You didn't hear my voice and obey and keep the commandments. The very thing I came and died for, you went back into it. You never stopped it, but said that you believed in me, that you served me. So here is the patience of the who they are, they that keep the commandments of Elohim and the faith of Yeshua. Because people say, all you got to do is have faith. We ain't up under no commandments. We ain't up under no law. It's a lie. It's an error. Let's go back to Revelation 20. What happens to those who worship the beast? And we see what happens to those, most of those who don't. Will there be some that escape? Yep. There'll be some that escape that don't see death, who escape the beast. They didn't take the mark. They resisted. They still get to reign with him. How many that is, I can't say. But we know that the scripture teaches that they get to reign with him 1,000 years. Now, everyone else, whoever lived before, those that died during this time and they were killed by the tribulation, the plagues from the Most High, because they wouldn't repent. They don't get up when Messiah returns. They get up after the 1,000 years. Everybody who was in the church, who lived righteous lives, but they didn't suffer as Messiah did. They don't get up the first resurrection. They get up with the rest of the dead. And the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of Elohim and of Mashiach, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Because we're going to have a time period when everybody that's alive. Now, I want to pose this to you, okay, this question. I want you to consider this. If everybody who ever believed in Messiah got up this first resurrection, and they are alive with him during the millennial kingdom, some of them reign with him, some of them not, then a lot of people, according to the scriptures, when we read the book of Revelation, the vast majority of mankind are killed. A lot of the saints are killed by the Antichrist, and a lot of the world are killed by the Most High. There ain't a whole lot of people in the world at this time. But the Most High kills off, in the billions, when you take the numbers, in the billions of people, because they would not repent to him. So who's in this 1,000 years? Now, he don't kill off everybody, but when you consider the numbers that he's going to save that are going to be on the earth, if these are all the saints that believed in Messiah that make up these numbers, and we got a big problem. So let's just look at this. So Satan is loosed after 1,000 years out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nation. And I'm just telling you to say, what if the nations are being made up of all the saints, okay, those that believed in Messiah, then watch what happens. And shall go out to the star in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. You can't count these number of people. They're as the sand of the sea. And they went up upon the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints about the beloved city. Fire came down from Elohim out of heaven and devoured them. Now, if this is the saint, why would they be coming up? If this is a true saint, these are people who resurrected, then they would not be subject to the second death. So this fire coming down from heaven out of Elohim wouldn't destroy them. So this can't be them. Now, if these are people who repopulated the earth, that made it through the resurrection, I mean, made it through the first, the tribulation, the 7 years, and they were not killed by the Most High, they repopulate the earth, because we have scriptures that tell us that the age of a man at 100 years old will be like an infant. They'll be dying. So they'll still be having sex at this point, this 1,000-year reign. They're going to still be having children. They're going to still be dying. But they're going to be living in a righteous kingdom up under the rulership of Messiah. And then we have the true believers, the saints. Okay? Same to think about what's being said. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them, the rest of the dead. Now the ones that the Most High just killed, they're going to be resurrected too. He just killed them. But they got to go before judgment. If you think you rebelled against Messiah, you think you're making it into the kingdom? No. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. Now, the only ones who have eternal life are those that made the first resurrection. And if the saints got up, all of the saints that believed in Messiah got up at this time, got up at the first resurrection, they're not subject to this. But if they didn't suffer with him, the scripture says they're not going to reign with him. And all the ones that got up reigned with him. So in Matthew, we're told that there are two crowns. There's the crown of life, eternal life, and then there's the crown to rule with him. You don't get to rule with him unless you suffer with him. And now, and you don't get resurrected unless the first resurrection, unless suffered with him. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their works. Now, why are you needing to be judged according to your work? For the simple reason that everything that you did in your life, the reward is. If your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have eternal life. But now you have to be given a reward. So if you gave up family, if you gave up your house, if you gave up whatever you gave up, he says you're going to be rewarded with eternal life and a hundredfold of whatever you gave up. That's what Messiah promised. For all those that overcome. So if you sat in the pews and you didn't run around and you didn't do this and you didn't do that, you lived a righteous life, but you didn't die for the word of Elohim, here is your judgment. The dead are judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their work. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their work. Now, here's eternal life for everyone, because everybody still hasn't received eternal life yet. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. No more death now. You've been judged. You've been found guilty or innocent. Eternal life yet. One way or the other. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. No more death, physical death. No more hell, holding ground or grave. There's a new death in town, the lake of fire. And nothing in the lake of fire is actually dead. Form of death. And whosoever. Now, everybody has eternal life, good and bad, according to their work, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So now you have eternal life. If your judgment was to damnation, you were cast into the lake of fire. If your judgment was to life, you enter into the kingdom, to the lake of fire. Only those that get up on the first resurrection are not subject to the second death. But those that get up in the second resurrection are still subject to the lake. Because these are invited to the wedding feast. The wedding hasn't taken place yet. These are the guests invited to the wedding feast. And Messiah told us, he told them to go get both good and bad. So they made it. They believed in Messiah. They made it into the kingdom. But they're still subject to the second death. Isaiah 66, and then we'll call it a day. And let's get... Starting in verse 22. As for the new heaven and the new earth, which doesn't happen until Revelation chapter 21, 22, which I shall make shall remain before me, saith Yah, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass. This is what everybody's got to do. That is still subject to the second death. That from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yah. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die. They cannot, their worm ain't going to consume them. Neither shall their fire be quenched. These are the people in the lake of fire. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. They shall be an abomination. They shall be, you abhor something, you hate it. It's disgraceful. Those people who are in the lake are a deterrent. Go look and see at them. See what they're going through. You don't want to go through that. You don't want to be in there. So don't get caught sinning. Because there is no more physical death. And all the people who gave their life for me, they proved themselves. They are not going to turn against me. They didn't love their life. They gave their life for me. They suffered with me. They're not subject to this lake. But the rest of the dead are. All those that got up the second resurrection are. So you got eternal life, and you got life in the kingdom. But the deterrent in the kingdom is you're not going to no grave. You're not going to say, oh, I'm sorry, because he says, you shall all know me. You shall all know the law. You shall all know what's right and wrong. So if you do something, you're doing it because you knew it was wrong. You wanted to do it. Send it straight to the lake. This is the deterrent. All right, with that being said, hold on a second. Hey, Charlton, hold on a second. I'm getting ready to wrap up here now, okay? Okay. All right. So understand this. This is why you want to fear the Most High. This is why you want to make it into the first resurrection. But you got to be willing to suffer with him and to give your life for him, for the word of Elohim or for the testimony, the witness of Messiah. And if he comes now, if he comes during the time of trials and or after the times of it, well, let me say this at a point. If you live through the times of trials and tribulations, you do not want to take the mark of the beast. Then you qualify to reign with him in our lifetime. If he don't come, if the times of trial and tribulation don't come, and we are not challenged to the point that, we're killed for to the testimony of Messiah or for the word of Elohim, then we'll get up in the second resurrection. There's qualifications for it. He tells us what they are. So may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints, for this is the whole duty of man. Shalom and be blessed. Don't know what the lesson will be for this evening. Maybe I'll just come on and ask this evening if anybody has questions about what was taught this morning. Because I know everybody doesn't believe the same way. But I pray that you see the scriptures and that you believe as it is written. And I pray that I've shown you that, hey, if you get up the second resurrection, you can still make it into the kingdom. You can still have life, but you will still be subject to the second death. That is your determinant. That being said, shalom, and I love you all. And where is my theme music?
Who are
Psalms family, happy Sabbath to you all. Peace and blessings.
Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.